Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence. As we look into the Word on this day, give us hearts to receive and eyes to see. Father, bring conviction to your spoken Word. And God, I give you glory. I give you praise and honor for it now, in Jesus' name. To the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verses 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. We want to use for a teaching, we must understand the times in order to know what to do. We must understand the times in order to know what to do. In dealing with this teaching, we need to understand the times that we are in right now. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, about perilous times coming. Well, they're not coming, they're here. We're in the midst of dangerous times. Ephesians 5:16. Paul said, redeem the time because the days are evil. So we're looking at perilous times. We're looking at evil times. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, it deals with a time of mockery where people are making fun of Christianity. In Isaiah 37:3, it talks about troublesome times. So the fact that we must understand the times that we're in, so you and I as God's people can know what we must do in the midst of the times we cannot change. I remember there was a teaching the Lord gave me. Since we cannot change the times, we can change for the times. Catch that. We can't change what's happening in the world. The Bible told us many things would take place. Many things would actually hit this earth. Jesus even told us in Matthew 24. On your spare time, read that whole chapter. He spoke about wars, rumors of wars, or threats of wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilence. No, Jesus spoke about all these things taking place before he comes back. Well, it kind of makes you wonder, all of the stuff we're seeing on planet Earth right now, Jesus' return is so close. It's closer than it was when we first used to hear people talking about Jesus is soon to come. My mind goes back to the book of Genesis and dealing with Noah. When God had Noah to build an ark. Now, the purpose of Noah constructing that ark was to protect the people from the flood waters that was going to hit the earth. The people never seen rain fall from the heavens. And when God told Noah, I want you to build an ark in Genesis chapter 6, to make the ark of gopher wood, God began to give Noah the construction, the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, the windows, everything I want you to put inside of that ark, I want you to do this. Noah got to work. After Noah finished building the ark in Genesis 7, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord told Noah, come thou and all thy family into this ark. Now, you just finished building this ark. Now I'm calling you and your family inside of the ark. What is the parallel here? That ark was a type of Christ. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. No, Paul didn't say be around Christ or be in a church building. If any man be in Christ, in the ark. You're getting the point now, yes. God called Noah into the ark. He didn't say sit on the side of it, hang on the back. No, come inside the ark. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The point is, that oath, no guilt, was a type of Christ. If we come into, we will be protected from what's happening. And no, during Noah's time, the floods that fell, no, the Bible says this. It rained, the windows of heaven was open, and the fountains of the deep broke loose. That meant waters came from the earth as well as from the heavens on the earth. Did you get that? Yeah. It rained from the heavens down, and then water came from the earth below. So there was water everywhere. And notice, God told Noah, yet in 40 days, I'm going to cause it to rain. In 7 days, it's going to rain. 40 days and 40 nights, I'm going to destroy everything on the planet. Now, Noah could not do nothing about what God said. But Noah could prepare himself for what was about to take place. All Noah can do was come inside of the ark. And then the Bible also says that the Lord shut him in. That's not there for nothing. God shut the door when Noah and his family came in. And this shows that God is still in control. Regardless of what's happening on the planet, God is still sovereignty. He's still on the throne. He will never be dethroned by nothing. God is still in control. And so when God called Noah into the ark, God shut the door. Listen, people, the door of salvation is still open right now. The day of grace is still prevalent right now. But imagine the day will come, just like Noah finished building the ark. God called Noah and his family into the ark. God shut the door. That ended. Any person that was not in the ark was lost. My friend, listen to me real good. We must understand the times to know what we must do. I need to kind of divert here because you have many people. You may be in the building, but you're not in Jesus. If any man be in Christ, not in the church building. You can sit in any church building on the planet. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, my friend, you're in a building, but you're still lost. You're like the people that was outside of the ark. But yet, the fact that you're inside of a building does not mean that you're safe. Listen, you're not safe until you are saved. You are not safe until you are saved. And the only way you can be saved is by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. I got to divert again. You're listening to me, my friend. You see what's happening in the world right now. Trouble all around us. Danger all around us. There's not a thing no human on the planet can do about what's happening in the earth. Throughout history, there have been many things to hit planet earth that no man on the planet could have altered, could have changed, could have diverted. But all we can do, just like when hurricanes come, tornadoes come, earthquakes. No, earthquakes. What can people do when the earth starts shaking? Nothing but get out of the way, that something won't hit you in the head. What people can do when tsunamis come, when tornadoes come, when mudslides come? They can't do nothing but hope that they can get out of that stuff. What I'm saying is, we must understand the times to know what we must do. We must be ready and stay ready at all times. It's not a thing of just coming to church on a Sunday morning, or coming to church on Easter, or coming to church on Christmas, or coming to church on some certain holidays. And you're thinking that because you've been to church, a building on a particular holiday, that you're in right standing with God. I'm here to let you know, my friend, you're still lost. Because if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, regardless of what day you go to a building, if you have not given your life to Jesus, you could sit in that building, my friend, and die and go straight to hell. But the good news of the gospel is, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My friend, Jesus loves you. Jesus paid your sin debt on the cross. Jesus took your sins, my friend. But I used to always think about something. The fact that Jesus died for our sins, does that automatically make us right? The answer is no. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. My friend, you have something to do in order to get right with Jesus. And that's by coming to him just as you are. You can't change yourself. Because if we could have changed ourselves, Jesus died for nothing. Since he knew we could not change ourselves, he did for us what nobody can do for us. He took your sins and mine, was nailed to a cross. He shed his blood. He was taken from the cross and put into a borrowed grave for 3 days, my friend. On the third day, he got up, and guess what? He's still alive right now. And he's saying to you that's listening to me, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't you want rest, my friend? Don't you want peace that surpasses all understanding? Don't you want to have the assurance of knowing that if you shut your eyes right now, that heaven will be your eternal resting place? If you don't have that assurance and you want it, my friend, stop what you're doing right now. Give me your undivided attention. It's decision time. Your soul is in the balance, my friend. Eternity. Where would you spend your eternal resting place if you died right now? If you have to wonder, if you have to guess, indications are you're not ready. Let me help you today, my friend. Stop whatever you're doing. Bow your head at this moment. We're going to pray a prayer, my friend. And it's not just words you're saying. You're going to be surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Say from your heart, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to planet Earth. You hung on a cross. You shed your blood for my sins. I believe you died. You was buried. And you rose again. I believe you're alive right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life from this day forward. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, signed with your blood. Lord Jesus, fill me now with your precious Holy Spirit, sealing me until the day of redemption. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for knowing that heaven will be my eternal resting place when I leave this world. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for a new beginning of life in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for those who have heard your word. I thank you for the conviction as well as the conversion. Thank you for the new beginnings you have given to multiply millions. And Father, I thank you for it now in Jesus' name.